Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is designed to restore original Christianity for today. What did Jesus really teach? What did the apostles teach? And why have church at home? Because church at home, you control your own environment. You can open your Bible, you can study, you can pray, you can do all of these things so you yourself can prove to yourself what the Bible actually says, not what some people tell you they think it says. And we've been going through in this series now, why were you born from a speck of dust to a son of God? And we're talking about the sonship of God and how that is a special relationship between every individual who has the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God is only given upon repentance and baptism and laying on of hands to receive the Holy Spirit, and then we are to walk in the Spirit, which means, as we have seen, to love God, to keep His commandments, and with God's Spirit in us, He is recreating in us to be His very own sons and daughters. That's the sonship of God. No one goes to heaven, no one goes to hell, and God is going to accomplish this, as we've already covered, through the way that we have seen in the Bible, and the finality of it is at the resurrection. So let's see what else Paul is telling us here in Romans, the 8th chapter, because all of this is leading to what Paul defines as the sonship of God. So let's continue where we left off, verse 9 of Romans 8. Because this becomes important. Because as we will see, there are a lot of people who believe they're a Christian. There are a lot of people who claim that they are Christian if they follow certain values in the Bible, if they have certain principles. But be that true as it may be, that does not mean they are a Christian. A Christian is one who has the Spirit of God within them, united with the spirit of man that God has given to each one of us as human beings. And that conjoining of God's Spirit with our spirit then is the basis for the sonship and our relationship with God. This is very important to grasp and understand. If you haven't heard this before, if you never have understood this before, and you think you are a Christian, then maybe you better take another look and ask yourself, am I really a Christian? And as we've seen, you can evaluate that by, do you have the Spirit of God within you, number one? Do you love God and keep His commandments? Do you do the things that are pleasing in His sight? And remember how we've covered. Carnal-friendly Christianity is, oh, isn't it wonderful, we're free from sin, and Christ is done away with the law. They never stop and ask the question, what is sin? Well, sin is a transgression of the law. If Christ has done away with the law, how could you have sinned? Because without the law, there is no sin. They haven't answered that question. So you're dealing with carnal-friendly Christianity, which is the Christianity of this world, as led by Satan the devil. Now, that's going to make a lot of people angry. You know, you mean the wonderful Sunday-keeping church I go to is not of God? They read from the Bible. They do things from the Bible. And yes, they do. And I even heard one of the top-flight Protestant preachers the other day talking about the sonship of God. But he had it all wrong at the end. See, it's kind of like this. Here's a cliff on this side. And here's the cliff on the other side, and you have to jump from this one to that one. Question. Let's liken this now to Christianity. If you have it 50% correct, did you make it to the other side? No, you crashed down into the middle of the gully. All right. What if you have it 80% correct? You still end up crashing in the gully, right? What if you have it 95% correct? Can you still deceive people with 95% correct? Yes. Because he said, and when we go to heaven, see, because God does not accomplish his will by us going to heaven, our so-called immortal soul, which we don't have, because the soul that sins shall die, and the dead know nothing, and who can praise you in the grave? See, it has to be done through the resurrection. And if souls either go to heaven or go to hell, there is no resurrection. And Paul said, that's heresy. So here he is, uses the scriptures, and probably one of the best Sunday-keeping preachers, and comes 90 to 95% of the way. But it's still a counterfeit because it's not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you see. So you need to evaluate things by what the Bible says, not judge them from how you feel inside emotionally, you see. Too many people have emotional decisions. And if you talk against my preacher and my church and my parents and my family, who are all good, wonderful, sincere people, who do you think you are? Well, I don't think myself to be anything. But if I preach the truth of God and know the truth of God, and can point out these things to you so that you may see and change your way, then that's what God would expect me to do. Now, I'm going to read something here in just a minute out of Romans, the 8th chapter, that is an absolute dividing line. You either are or you are not spiritually a Christian. Doesn't matter what you profess. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what your preacher may tell you. It doesn't matter how close you are. You either are or you are not. Now let's review verse 9 of Romans 8. However, you are not in the flesh, that is, living in the world, carnal, but in the spirit, if, notice that little word, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you. Now, this you have to know. John wrote, as we saw in John, the 3rd chapter, and hereby we know we are in him by the Spirit he has given to us. There's no maybes, there's no if and ands, it is either or. Now let's read it again. If the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you, but if anyone, that means anyone, anywhere, regardless of their profession, regardless of what they may think, regardless of what they have been told, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ within them, we will see, he does not belong to him. That's pretty profound, isn't it? That is a dividing line that is absolutely clear. Now let's add a little more to it, as the Bible tells us. Peter told the Jews at the Sanhedrin when they were arrested for preaching Christ and healing a man, and he said, there is no other name under heaven by which you may be saved, Jesus Christ. And of course, the Jews and the Sanhedrin got all angry. But they couldn't deny the miracle because the man was standing right there in front of them. What are they going to do? And Peter also said that God gives His Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. So if you think you have the Holy Spirit, question, do you really obey God? Do you keep His commandments? Do you keep the Sabbath and Passover and holy days of God? If you go to church on Sunday and take the fake Passover communion and are in a church where there are idols, you don't have the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God does not dwell where there is disobedience. Never happened. So you need to think about it. Now, someone might say, well, those are strong words, and these are really good people, and I know them. Do you know your Bible? It doesn't matter how you know them. What did Paul say? But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him. Can anything be more clear than that? An absolute dividing line. And this is the key to the sonship of God. And this is the key to understanding why were you born from a speck of dust to a son of God. Verse 10. But if Christ be within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Notice that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See? Far from doing away with the laws of God, with God's Spirit, He writes them in your hearts and in your mind and in your very being, to where you are like David said, my flesh cries out to the living God. That's far different than having a religion in a cozy little church on the corner. That's why we have church at home, because you won't hear things like this from a Sunday-keeping church. Because a Sunday-keeping church is not of God, it doesn't matter what they profess. Doesn't matter how many Bibles they have in the pulpit. It doesn't mean a thing to them because they don't keep it. What about you? What is your life? Do you want to be a son or daughter of God? Do you want to understand why you're here? Why God created you? Your purpose in life? Your ultimate destiny? Let's read on. Now, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of His Spirit that dwells within you. Quicken means to make alive from the dead. And that alive from the dead is the resurrection. That's how God is going to accomplish it. Let's see how that's going to happen. Quicken our mortal bodies. Because of His Spirit that dwells within you. Now notice something else. Verse 12, this becomes a primary important thing. So then, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh, because if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. Wages of sin is death. Living the way the world does, the broad way, where the majority of people are going. And you can be absolutely for sure, when it comes to understanding the purpose of life, the majority is absolutely wrong. Because the Bible tells us that. Now let's read on here. He says, but if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now this shows that walking into good works that God has for us, and with the Spirit of God within us, we are crucifying the flesh to walk in God's way. So whenever there is sin, we repent and get rid of it. If it comes back, we repent again and get rid of it. We draw close to God and say, help me, Father, to overcome. Help me to cleanse my heart and my mind, you see? That's what he's saying here. Verse 14, now here's what the Holy Spirit is to do for us. Verse 14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If the Spirit of God is dwelling within you, as we have seen, and that is leading you, rather than the world out here leading you like some animal with a ring in his nose being led around, not walking in the way of carnality and flesh and sin and wretchedness the way that this world is, but walking in truth and in sincerity and in love in God's way, as led by the Holy Spirit. Now let's see what else this tells us. Verse 15 now. Now you have not received a spirit of bondage again unto fear, because that's what it is when you're in the world. If you're under the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works within the minds and hearts of the children of this world, those who are sinners and suffer the wrath of God. That's the spirit of bondage of this world. God has called us out of it. And the bondage is being a slave to sin. Now notice, here's the contrast. But you have received the spirit of sonship. That's the whole purpose of the calling of God, the sonship of God, because God is recreating himself through his plan by converting human beings and giving them his spirit so that at the resurrection they will be born again from flesh to spirit and life eternal. And immortality. Isn't that something? That's why you were born. But you have to do it God's way. Now let me tell you something very, very clearly here. There is no fast food way to salvation. Today we've been all dumbed down with 20-minute segments on television and radio. And everyone wants it quick and fast. And easy. But it doesn't come that way with true Christianity, because the sonship of God makes you at enmity with Satan the devil. And the sonship of God, if you have the Spirit of God, then God will raise you from the dead to be a spirit being. That's why you're made in his image. That's why we're made a little lower than God. Think of that. Think of how fantastic that is. You've probably never heard this before, but this is exactly what the scriptures are telling us. But you have received the spirit of sonship whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, Abba means daddy. Father is our heavenly Father in heaven above, right at the throne, the sovereign of the universe. And the sonship of God, through the Spirit of God, gives you direct access to the Father, that you can pray directly to him. You don't need some sinful pedophile priest intervening in your life and telling you, blessed are you, my sons, your sins are forgiven. Go do 200 Hail Marys and 200 Our Fathers. Nonsense. That is a satanic counterfeit. Now, if you're stuck in that religion of fear and bondage, you better get into your Bible and get out of that slavery that you're into and come into the freedom of God through the sonship of God. Now notice, verse 16, the Spirit itself, very important, mark that. We'll talk about that at another time. The Spirit itself bears witness conjointly with our spirit, testifying that we are the children of God. Now what is this telling us? This is telling us that the Spirit of the Father has begotten us in the spirit of our mind, the human spirit that he has given, and that conjointly with the Spirit of Christ, they are dwelling within us, and we are the children of God. Now, the King James says adoption. That is blatantly a false translation. Sonship is not adoption. Sonship is the real thing. Now, let's come to the first epistle of John. And let's see what John says about this. And he talks about the love that God has for us and how fantastic this is and the tremendous and glorious purpose that God has for us. 1 John 3 and verse 1, he says, "Behold, what glorious love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God." Now, the Greek here for children is very interesting, because the Greek here is technon. Now, technon, then, are the direct offspring of father and mother. And adoption is taking someone else's children and you're caring for them. That's not what God is doing. This is the sonship of God. We are the children of God, the technon of God, because we have the very Spirit of God. Let's go on. "Behold, what glorious love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. For this very reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him." A lot of people think they know Christ, but they don't know him. How many times have I showed this? That's a false Christ. That's a false Christ. The religion of this is not of God. And they take away the knowledge of the truth, and they take away the knowledge of the sonship of God, and they take away the knowledge of the Spirit of God, take away the knowledge of the love of God, and God's love to us. What glorious love that it is that God would bring us to a relationship, to enter into a status of sonship with God. Now, we need to understand that. This is fantastic. Now notice verse 2. "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is manifested, we shall be like him, because we shall see him exactly as he is." Now think of that. That's what the sonship is all about. He is talking about the resurrection. When Christ returns, that's when the resurrection takes place. Now, the New Testament has a lot more to say about the resurrection, has a lot more to say about the true plan of God. You see, one of the most burning questions you need to answer in your life is, why was I born? What purpose does God have for me? What is God's plan? How can I enter into that relationship with God to be a son or daughter of God through the sonship of God? Nothing else is more important in life than that. Now be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org, where we have many, many sermons. Now what I would like you to do is this. Go to the website, and we'll have where you can click right from here and go to the series that we have, The Love of God, because you need to understand what the love of God is from Genesis to Revelation, and we have an in-depth series with that so that you can know and understand God created you. God loves you. God has a purpose for you. God needs you and God wants you, but you have to come to God on his terms. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.